Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We begin Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And the Rambam tells us in the introduction, Mitzvah Aseh Achas. There's only one positive mitzvah in these halachas that we're going to learn in these five chapters. Vehi, and that is the mitzvah, Sheyaseh Masa Yom HaKippurim Kulo Al HaSeder. You do the actions of Yom Kippur completely according to the order. How do we know what the order is? As we see in Parshas Achrimos, the order of Hakarbanos, the offerings, Vahaviduyim, and the confessions, Vishiluach HaSoir, and sending away the goat, Ushar Avodas, and the other Avodas, Ubeir Mitzvah Zubaprakamela. We're going to explain this mitzvah in these five chapters. Well, basically what's going to happen, in the first three chapters, we're going to talk about the preparations for the Avoda that are required. The fourth, and that's going to tell you what the various things have to be prepared for, but the fourth chapter will then tell us what the exact order is as it's supposed to be made. And the, are you looking for Mencha Marv or something?
There's a shear on the laws of...
Yes!
Whoa.
You're here! Perfect!
I'm at the right spot, yeah?
You're in the right place.
Wow!
Okay, and the fifth parak is if you make a mistake.
Is there a...
What do you do if you make a mistake? You can just sit here, yeah, it's right on the iPad. Feel welcome. Okay, so back to the first parak is going to discuss the preparations for Yom Kippur. Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. B'yom Hatzom, on the day of the fast, which is Yom Kippur, Makrivim, we start off by bringing the offerings of the Tamid HaShachar, the Tamid Shelber Abayim. The Rambam is first going to list off 15 korbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur. And we start with the Korban Tamid, the daily offering that's brought in the morning. That's on 365 days a year. And the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Rabayim, which is brought in the afternoon 365 days a year. Keseder, Koyom Ligavidei. So that's the first two Korbanos. Then we have, as we learned already before, every Yom Tov has its own Musaf offering. So Makrivi Musaf Ayom, to bring the various Korbanos, there are 10 Korbanos that are brought as a Musaf just because it's Yom Kippur. Similarly, for all other holidays, we said there was a number of Musafim just like that. And what are the 10 Korbanos? Here's a quick review. Par, you bring a bull, va'ayil, and a ram, v'shiva kvasim, and 7 sheep, kulam olos. Those are all olos, plus usi'ir chatos nase bachutz. And 1 chatos is done bachutz, meaning to say, lachutzi means outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, as opposed to the other korbanos that we're going to talk about shortly, that is sprinkled in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And that's, lachutzi means on the Mizbeach in the Azora. Okay, that's what he's talking about. V'hu nechol ha'erev. And just like any other korban, that chatas can be eaten by the Kohanim. And Motzei Yom Kippur, that korban chatas can be eaten. So those are the 10 korban musafs. Similar, but not precisely the same, as other Yomim Tovim have a number of animals that are brought for the Korban Chat, for the Musaf. So he's starting off with 2 Korban Tamids, 10 Korbanos Musaf for Yom Kippur, we're up to 12. Now, what else do we have? For Od Makrivim Yeser al Musafs there, we also bring an addition to this Musaf, Par Ben Bokor Lachatas, you bring a yearling bull that is brought for a Chatas offering, which whose blood is sprinkled in the Kodshei Kedoshim, v'hu nishraf, and it is burnt outside of Yerushalayim. So that is another one. V'ayil la'ola, and also an ayil ram is brought for an ola. And these 2 karbanos, what's the nature of them? Ushneim mishel kohen gadol. They all are brought from the property of the kohen gadol. So it's really the kohen gadol's 2 karbanos that he's bringing for himself, as it were.
These are the ones that he sprinkles once up and then 7.
Yes, that's going to be all part of that. It's going to be described in subsequent chapters.
These are the ones that he's doing?
We'll see. We'll see as we go further on. We're going to see. But they are sprinkled inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. So we'll see. He's going to go into more details. We're just giving you the overview right now. Okay, so we're up to 12. We're up to 14 Korbanos now. Then we have the Ayil Haba Mishel Tzibur, the ram that's brought for the congregation, Ha'omor B'Parshas Achrimos, which is said in Achrimos, and don't make a mistake, and that is the very same one, V'Ha'ayil Ha'omor B'Chumash HaPukodim, and it's also the same Ayil, even though it's mentioned in Achrimos, It's the same one that's mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas, and that is Bechlal HaMusaf, and that's included in the Musaf, Vanikra El Am, and that's the ram of the people. All the Rambam is telling, he's not adding anything here. He just doesn't want you to be confused that although there's one description of the isle in Parshas Achrimos, and there's a description of the isle in Parshas Pinchas, and you might think it's a different korban. So Rambam's saying it's not a different korban. This is the isle that's part of the Musaf that we've already discussed. So it's not an additional korban. He's just trying to avoid confusion, as by other Yomim Tovim, where one korban is said in one in Vayikra and one is in Bamidbar, and it is a different korban. So Rambam wants to not have you make that mistake. So we're still up to the 14. We haven't added one with this one. The Rambam's just clarifying that that aisle, which is mentioned in Achrimos, is the very same aisle that's in Parshas Pinchas, that's part of the Musaf for the congregation.
That's so, 15, isn't it?
No, we're still at 14. We haven't added. That was part of the aisle for the Musaf. That's what he's saying. When we mentioned there were 10 for the Musaf, one was an aisle. And he's saying this one in Achrimos is the same aisle. That is the one that is mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, which is part of the Musaf. So that's not an extra one. It's Bechalal HaMusaf. It's included in the Musaf. He just doesn't want you to make the mistake that you could if you weren't careful in reading it. Think, well, it says in Achrimos one aisle, and it says in Bamidbar another aisle. It's a different aisle. And I'm saying, no, it's not a different aisle. It's the same. And that's called the Isle Ha'am. And that's the one for the Musaf for the people. So we're still stuck at 14, as it were. V'od mevei mishal tzibur. Now we bring another two animals for that's from, and it's from and for the tzibur. And this is the famous shnei sireizim. These are the two goats. Echad karev chatas. One is brought as a korban chatas. V'hu nisraf, and is burnt outside Yerushalayim. So that's the 15th korban that is sacrificed. Vasheni, and the second one is the sar mishtalech, is the goat that's sent off. So it's really 16 animals, but that's not exactly a korban. It's cast off the cliff. So it's 15 korbanos plus one. Nimtzu kol ha-behemes ha-krevim b'yom hazeh. So how many animals were brought on this day is chamesh esrei, is 15. And another Rambam repeats it again to review. Shnei temidim, you have the two korban tamids, that's two. Then the next 10 is going to be for the musaf, par, a bull, ushnei elim, and two rams.
One of which is
now,
the Isle
Ha'am. And he's saying one is for the tzimur, from the Kohen Gadol. So it's not mentioning the 10 of the musafs, he's just adding the different animals. So one is for the tzibur, musaf, and one is for the Kohen's private aisle. So that's two more. Vishiva kvasim, and seven kvasim. So now he's putting them all together. Why in this order? Because kulam olos. Those are 12 korban olos. Okay, ushnei sirim, and now two goats as a chatas, echad nasa b'chutz, one is done outside in the azara, v'necho la'erev, and is eaten at night, v'ashen, and the second one nasa b'fnin, the blood is sprinkled inside v'nisrav, and it's burnt outside of Yerushalayim, and then finally 15, upar kohen gadol l'chatas v'nisrav, and the bull for the kohen gadol, for his korban chatas, and it is burnt as well outside.
Can you say so those, before we were holding at 14, and then we added the two for the...
Two, but one
is
sacrificed, and one is pushed off the cliff. So we're stuck at 15. So the Rambam is basically giving you three different ways, so to speak, as how to enumerate it. And in the end, he's just enumerating it based on olos. So you see there are 12 olos, two that are achatas, for the kahal, and one is for the Kohen Gadol's chatas. So that's the other way of food. So that's 15 animals are in total brought.
You said one of them was outside Yerushalayim.
Burnt. We'll see. We'll see. It's just general. We're going to, the substance factor is going to be in much more precise detail. Just giving you an overall thing. Base. Second halacha. Avodas kol chamesh esrei behemes elu. Now the avoda of the sacrifice of all 15 animals, Hakribiyom said that upon this day, Einam Ella Bekoin Godol Bilvad, can only be done by the Kohen Godol at all. Okay, in other words, there's no difference. This is the Rambam's position. There are some who debate what the Rambam holds, but it claims to hear the Rambam's position. All their korbanos, regardless if it's unique to Yom Kippur or not.
The tummies are
totally not unique to Yom Kippur. And there's the other things we'll see, like the ketores. Many things are brought every day that are going to continue to be brought every day. The point the Rambam is saying is that all the avodas are only done with the Kohen Gadol, Bilvad, and we'll see what kind of Kohen Gadol. We've already learned in the past there's two ways we can initiate someone as a Kohen Gadol. Echad Kohen HaMashiach, whether he's a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with a special anointing oil that only existed during the first Beis HaMikdash. What do they do with the second Beis HaMikdash? There's another way to inaugurate him. Or Bein Bewat, oh, Hamaruba Begadim, when he would serve with the eight Begadim.
Not four.
That's explained in early Halachas. And that was during the second Beis HaMikdash, completely. That was the only way. We didn't have the special oil. And also, in a certain period of time, in the first Beis HaMikdash, from the times of King Yoshiana, there was no Shemana Mishka. So it doesn't matter how the Kohen Gadol is made, the Kohen Gadol. So what the Rambam is saying, in terms of preparation, so we're going to see, how does this fit into preparations? Well, there's a number of preparations that I have. Number one, you have to have a Kohen Gadol. That's the first point. And it's very important that the Kohen Gadol is going to be Tahor, which we'll talk about in a few halachas. That's number one. You're going to see the very next thing, we need a Kohen Gadol who is married. And the third point we will see is that he has to practice the Avodah. That's why this chapter is basically dealing with preparations. It's telling what's going to need to be done and what specific things have to be lined up in place for this to happen, as he's going to discuss in a moment. Now, what if the, so we've got the 15 animals. Is it possible to have any more than 15 animals on Yom Kippur? Yes, siree. V'mhoise Shabbos af Musa, and if Yom Kippur came out on Shabbos, now we got to figure what normally is brought on a Shabbos. Af Musav Shabbos. And you have to bring two more sheep on every Shabbos of the year. So if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, that's another two karbanos. Ein makir so ella Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol alone can do that as well. So you could have Kohen Gadol bringing 17 karbanos. That's a lot of work for one person to do. Vechein shor avodah shel yom zeh, and el the other avodah of this day. Kigon haktoris hakatoris, bringing the incense offering. Shel kol yom, that's done normally every day. V'hatovas aneris, and cleaning out the menorah. Hakol, amongst other things, hakol osui b'kohen gadol nasoi, can only be done by a kohen gadol, A, B, who is married. How do we know he has to be married? Shenemar, when it talks about the avoda of Yom Kippur, it says, v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beiso, he brings atonement for himself and for his family. And Chazal explained, beiso, who's his family? Zo ishto, this is his wife. So those are the three things we're going to have to be concerned about now. The Kohen Gadol's got to do all the avoda, so he better be tar. Number two, he's got to be married. And number three, he better know how to do all these avodos, which he does not necessarily have to do every day of the year. He does not have to bring the ketores. He does not have to clean the menorah. Could be the Kohen Gadol never did it. And therefore, he's going to have to practice, as
that's
we're going to explain
that's the
shortly.
Sequestering. That's the sequestering.
Good. Halacha Gimel. Shivas yomim kodim liyom kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, mafrishin kohen gadol mibeiso, he is taken away from his personal home, and he goes lilishkaso, to his own office, that's off the Azora. It was an office that did not have the kedusha of the Azora, so that he'd be able to sleep there. Cannot sleep in the Azora.
No.
So even though it was connected to the Azora, but that part of that office was not in the Azora, so he could sleep there. So he's literally Shabbat Mikdash, so he's sequestered for 7 days. Stay in that Lishka. We're protecting the Kohen Gadol.
Honey, I hope to see you again.
Yes. V'davar zeh, and this halacha, Kabbalah Moshe Rabbeinu, that's halacha l'moshe Mishinai from Moshe Rabbeinu. What else do we do?
Why?
We're going to get to it in a minute. It's all going to be explained. Umafrishin also meyishto kol shiva shema. We separate him from his wife all 7 days. Why is that? Shema timotze ishto nido. What if he is intimate with her accidentally while the wife is anita? We're not talking he is, God forbid, purposely transgressing.
No.
But, you know, she was tar in the middle of his intimacy. She's paris anita. So what can you do? It's an accident beyond his control. Now, what happens when a person is Boel Anita? Nimtza Tomei Shivas Yamin. He'll be Tomei for 7 days, and that knocks him out of the Yom Kippur race. So, therefore, he's got to be, that's one of the reasons he's sequestered. He has to be away from his wife. And obviously, you're trying to remove him from any possibilities of being Tomei. So, if we've got him sequestered in this room for 7 days, I guess we're not bringing any rodents into that room.
Rodents.
And we're not, you know, having people dropping...
Especially dead rodents.
We're not having people dropping dead on him in that lishka. And he's staying away from his wife. Right. So therefore, that's one reason. So there'd be no reasons to take him out. Because when this happens, there's no second chances. If he's tummy 3 days before Yom Kippur...
But isn't there the understudy?
Fine. It doesn't help us. We want the Kohen Gadol. We want the best guy for the job.
Why before Har Sinai was only 3 days and this is 7 days? It's
not what are you talking about?
The men have to be separated.
It wasn't a Kohen Gadol.
We
didn't have the halachas of
Avoda.
We didn't have the halachas of Tum and Tar. No Avoda. None of these things.
There's no Avoda there to do.
There was no Torah yet.
But they chose 3 days there.
No, they need 3 days to prepare. That's all. Not al Hilchas Tum and Tahara. Not al Hilchas Tum and Tahara. For spiritual growth. For 3 days to prepare yourselves for 3 days. Yeah, but I understand. But they were doing a lot of things to spiritually get themselves ready. Right? Umaskinin lo koin kolach. And we also prepare a backup. There is a backup. Shimieras bazep pisul. If for whatever reason the koin gadol give him his puzzle, what if he develops a mum?
That's bad.
All of a sudden, what if he falls out of his bed in the middle of the night and he bangs himself and breaks his arm or whatever? So we need to have a backup. So Yavad Acher Tachtov, so the other fellow will serve in his place. Now it doesn't matter. Bein She'erabo Pesul Kodem Tomit Shel Shachar. Doesn't matter if the Pesul developed before he started any Avoda. Bein She'erabo Pesul Acher Shikriv Karbano. It doesn't matter after he brought his own personal korban. Remember, the Kohen Gadol every day, 365 years, brought a minchas chavitin, which was the special Kohen Gadol's mincha every day. Doesn't matter when this problem happened. Zeh shenichnas tachtov, this one replaces him. Ein tzorech chinuch, does not need inauguration. If you recall, we learned that before a Kohen Gadol can do any avoda, he has to be inaugurated in it. And there's a special inaugural korban that he brought.
Right.
So wait a minute, we got an understudy over here who's not a Kohen Gadol. Where's the inauguration? So the Rambam is saying it doesn't. You don't need it over here. Why? Because Ella avodaso mechan chato. It's his avoda that inaugurates him. Because this inauguration can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. So that by definition inaugurates him. Normally, a Kohen Gadol can do all kinds of avoda. And therefore, we want to inaugurate the Kohen Gadol. We have a special Kohen Gadol inaugural korban that we bring. On Yom Kippur, when we get the understudy, the fact is, well, who brings the inaugural korban for a stamazoy? A Kohen Gadol brings the inaugural korban, Kohen Gadol. But on Yom Kippur, since the avoda can only be done by the Kohen Gadol, no different than an inaugural korban for the Kohen Gadol is only done by the Kohen Gadol. We don't have to bother with an inaugural Kohen Gadol because it's an exclusive thing anyway. And therefore, he doesn't need anything special.
If it's his first day, not the understudy, does he do it?
You'd never pick a Kohen Gadol who hasn't served yet in the Beis Hamikdash. It would be most unusual for that to happen. That would have to mean that a Kohen Gadol died.
The World Series, it's your first. You know, it's your first day pitching.
You know,
it's
even
unlikely.
So, and even if that would be so, his avoda that makes him uniquely a Kohen Gadol would be for that. Umaschil. Now, let's say for whatever reason the original Kohen Gadol gets knocked out of the game sometime on Yom Kippur. At any time, the understudy begins from where? Me'avoda Shabbos HaBarishim, where the first one left off.
Yeah.
We don't say the understudy has to start over all from the beginning. Wherever it was stopped, that's where it ends, and he continues after that point. Which, you know, unfortunately, we'll see later on, if the Kohen Gadol did not make it out of the Kodesh Kodashim, because he died, then you'd need the understudy to get...
Do we have his illustrations?
Get hopping. I don't know, we'll have to see. Okay, now... So let's say we had a situation now where the Kohen Gadol became possible in the middle of Yom Kippur. We have the understudy now for the first time is doing Kohanic Gadol work.
Right.
So now what happens to him after Yom Kippur?
That's really my question.
And now the Kohen Gadol gets better. He got a mum and now the mum went away or whatever. He became Tomei, whatever. So now we have to. So what happens? Well, over Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur finishes and the first coin is ready to continue to resume his work when he gets fixed up, Hare Arishon Chosel Avodoso. The first Kohen Gadol goes back to being the normal Kohen Gadol. V'hasheni over. And the second one, as it were, passes away. In other words, he stops acting in a Kohen Gadol's capacity completely, although he is called a Kohen Gadol She'avar, or Oved. So now he's been a past Kohen Gadol, a temporary Kohen Gadol. Okay? And I lost the place. Vasheni Over, V'chol Mitzvahs Kahuna Gadol. Interesting, though, the replacement, although he doesn't do any more work as the Kohen Gadol, because the first one's back, but all the stringencies of a Kohen Gadol go to this guy who filled in because he was for a while a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, all the halachas that a Kohen Gadol is upon him, that
he can't
let his hair grow, or if a person
haircut
dies,
daily.
He can't do the things that a person dies from, he can't marry an almana. Everything that every law of a Kohen Gadol applies to him. Once you've been for a little while a Kohen Gadol, you're a Kohen Gadol.
How about the daily mincha?
No, that he wouldn't have to do, because that's the Kohen Gadol's job. So, but the main is the prohibition.
Okay.
You see.
But if he dies, the Arei Miklat, they wouldn't.
That's a good question.
He's not the primary.
Not the primary. But I think there were different Kohen Gadols where they would come back. I don't remember.
Well, there was the one who sent you out to the war. Remember the war?
Anyway, let's stay focused on here.
Yeah, let's do that.
Elisha Eina Oveg Kohen Gadol, but he doesn't work like a Kohen Gadol. So in every other aspect of prohibitions, he is a Kohen Gadol. Doesn't work like a Kohen Gadol. But what if for some unusual reason he says, I don't care, I'm on a random Wednesday, you know, I'm gonna do some Kohen Gadol work.
What?
V'mavad. And what if he puts on the 8 begadim that the Kohen Gadol normally puts on, and now he does some avoda? Avoda k'shera. Because minat Torah, he is considered a Kohen Gadol. Yeah. In other words, once a Kohen Gadol, always a Kohen Gadol. So really, there are two Kohen Gadols. There's no such thing as a Kohen who does the work of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. He can't be un-Kohen Gadolized. So he really is biblically considered a Kohen Gadol, no less than the other Kohen Gadol.
Always be married.
But the rabbi said it's not a good idea to have two guys at the top, because there's going to be all kinds of friction and strife. So rabbinically, we've said, although he may biblically be considered a Kohen Gadol, that's why all the Yisurim of a Kohen Gadol are on him. Because you can say, well, if he doesn't get to work, why are we giving him all the Yisurim? But since biblically he is a Kohen Gadol, once you serve as a Kohen Gadol, once you are a Kohen Gadol the rest of your life. So really, technically, according to the Torah, two Kohen Gadols could switch off every day. But the rabbis say, we don't want any of this business. It's going to cause too much internal strife. We go back to the old Kohen Gadol. So now what if the other guy decided one day just to do it? Would we? Now, it's not a smart thing to do, not a wise thing to do. He didn't listen to the rabbis. But what would be his avoda status?
It was a
proper Kohen Gadol did the avoda. And since we're on a biblical level, it's an avoda, so it would be a kosher avoda.
So he has to always be married.
I'm sorry?
He has to always be married. His wife died. He always has
only
to
for Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Only for Yom Kippur.
Okay,
because only the Chiper Badova Ad Beiso on Yom Kippur only.
That's a biblical.
So let's say, I don't know, let's say a Kohen Gadol's wife dies on Sukkot, yeah?
Right.
So I mean, theoretically, to continue to be a Kohen Gadol, he's got a year almost to do that, to have that. Now,
can I ask a question?
Let me just finish two more lines, just to finish this halacha. V'mesa Risha, what happens if, I don't know, 2-3 years later, that first Kohen Gadol dies? Well, now we know who automatically is the one who's going to ascend. There's nothing to discuss. Zeha Sheni Mismanet Tachtov. The second one now is appointed in his place. So obviously, whoever is the backup in this whole scenario over here, he is meant to one day replace the Kohen Gadol.
Even if he never serves a day because he never becomes Tameh, he's the official.
You'd assume he's the next man in line. Who are you going to pick as the backup unless the guy who's the next best person for the job? You just pick out a guy, just a random, he's a nice Yid coin. We'll just put him as the backup because, you know, he won't be upset if he doesn't. No, this is really the second best person for the job, because who are you picking as the backup? Right, it's not like, you know, in the NFL where you got the great quarterback is the first string quarterback, and the second one is not like the second best quarterback in the NFL. It's, you know, it's probably the 28th best quarterback after the first 27. Right, so it's not like, well, we'll just pick anybody as the backup Kohen Gadol. No, you're picking the second best spiritual Kohen that exists, because if the first Kohen's out, you want the very best man for the job. So obviously he's the next man in line for that. Now, could be, you know, as time passes, if let's say he loses in his levels and he doesn't keep this game, Well, I guess maybe they could change it, but generally that was not so.
Okay.
All right. Dalit, let's do one more. Vishivas Yamim Elu. Now, in these 7 days, we want to make extra sure that this coin is tar. Because, see, what's the question? Of course he's tar. He told us he's tar. Yeah, it's true. But we treat him, believe it or not, we treat him as if he was a Tamei Meis, even though we don't have any proof he is a Tamei Meis. There's no reason to assume he's a Tamei Meis. But we treat him like a Tamei Meis. What do we mean? Masin alav ne'efer ha'para. We sprinkle the water of the Parah Aduma bashlishi on the third day, la'hafrasha, and we separate him. Right? 7 days before Yom Kippur, we separate him. So on day three, we sprinkle the water of the Parah Aduma as if he was Tamei Meis. We'll see why in a minute. And also on the seventh day, we sprinkle on him.
That's
Erev Yom Kippur. It's 7 days, then Yom Kippur. Okay? So why? Shema Nitma Vesuita. What if he became Tamei Meis and he never knew? The guy just didn't know. Sometimes, you know, maybe he paid a shiva call. Who knows? He went into a hospital, whatever.
Hospital.
And they tell him, no, there's nobody dead. No one's dead. You're okay. You can
somebody
go visit
died.
The hospital. And everybody
died.
Thought it was fine, and nobody ever knew the difference. And it could be he's been Tommy for the last 6 months. And nobody knows. Not even he. So just in case, so you can't do this every day of the year. We can't treat him every day that way. But in Yom Kippur, where everything's riding on the line, we don't want anything to go wrong.
I thought you're not Tamei, it makes you Tamei. No, that's not the thing.
That's not him. No,
if you're making
that's only the people who do
making,
the Avodah.
People
bring the thing. But, so therefore, what happens if you sprinkle the ashes of a Parah Aduma on someone who's not Tamei Meis? It's a waste of time. Okay, but that's all it is. But here, we're not wasting our time.
Wet.
We're concerned. Could be,
wet.
Maybe, he was Tamei, and nobody knows he was Tamei. So we treat him that way. Now, here's an interesting scenario. What if, now, the third day or the seventh day is Shabbos?
Oh, no sprinkling.
Now, this is not so simple over here. Because this is a form of a repair, so to speak.
It's also like washing.
You know?
You could be putting water on something.
So you're not supposed to be pouring the ashes. We don't work on Saturdays for Parah Adumas over here.
Right.
So what's going to happen when it comes out on Shabbos? In Chol Yom Shabbos B'Shlishi or B'Shvi, if the Shabbos would come out on either the third or seventh day, Dochen Es Azar, we push off the Azar. So what would that mean?
If it's Yom Kippur, though, if the
seventh... No. So it means we'd start a day early. In other words,
okay.
Yom Kippur came out on a Sunday. Now, nowadays, it can't come out on a Sunday.
No,
but
it could in the old days.
But when you did it just by seeing the moon, it could come out on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It comes out on Sunday, so you figure, well, okay, 7 days. You start on
Shabbos,
Sunday.
You can't do it.
Let's say the seventh day comes out on Shabbos.
You can't
right?
sprinkle.
Now, I don't know, if the third day was Shabbos, then what day would the Yom Kippur have come out on? Would it be Thursday?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
and then
Thursday.
So Yom Kippur would have come out either on Thursday or Sunday, which would therefore be either the third or the seventh day we come on Shabbos, since we can't sprinkle it on him on those third or seventh day.
Back it up.
We move it up a day early.
Back
so
up.
Instead of, let's say, starting on Sunday,
Saturday.
Shabbos, Saturday. We'd start a day before.
Yeah.
So therefore, and we'd have to sequester him an extra day.
Yeah.
You understand what's happening here. So you could even technically sequester up to 9 days, theoretically. You have to move it up 2 days under certain circumstances. Now, the question that the commentator is asking, we'll end with this. But wait a minute. Sprinkling the water on the Kohen Gadol is just a shvus. It's only a rabbinic problem. There's no real avera. What's wrong with sprinkling? Well, it looks like you're fixing him up. It's like tikkun agavra.
But he may not be in time at all.
But it's a rabbinic thing. So they didn't allow it. Because it wasn't exactly, even though we say there's no shvus in the mikdash, he wasn't exactly in the mishkan, in the mikdash. He was in the lishkas flahadrin, where that was not exactly in the azara, and that's where he was for the entire 7 days. It did not have the kedusha of the azara; it only has the kedusha of the harabayis, and there we did not dispense with the suri derabanan. So that's what the commentaries offer. That, or as Martin, you have suggested. The truth of the matter is there really wasn't anything wrong to begin with anyway.
Right.
Only by a vadai tamei meis would we say
right.
There's a problem of shvus. But the whole thing is only a suffek. So clearly, since it's only a suffek, So that would be what? No, but see, that would mean to say we should be able to do it, and that's what he's saying. Still, in all,
but
working,
no, but if it's Mari Sinai that you people
right.
don't know.
So, but therefore, we're saying because since it's not in the Mikdash, so the rule of Shvus being pushed away
is
doesn't
not applicable
because you're not in the Mikdash. Okay, we'll stop it over there. Exactly.